Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Bulldog Brunch. Hey! Live from the Hilltop Grill in Athens, Bulldog Brunch is on the air. We're wrapping up the Dogs football weekend on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Today's show is brought to you by Peachtree Orthopedics. At Peachtree Orthopedics, we are dedicated to helping you feel better, faster. And by Eckrich, the official smoked sausage of the Georgia Bulldogs. Be a part of today's show by calling toll-free at 1-888-81-DOGS. That's 1-888-813-2947. Now, along with Georgia Hall of Famer Kevin Butler, here's your host, Jeff Dantzler.
Spearheaded by a dominating defensive performance, Georgia beats Missouri 27-0 between the hedges. The sixth-ranked Bulldogs now 8-1 on the season, 5-1 in the Southeastern Conference, with a mega showdown awaiting Saturday against the Auburn Tigers in the loveliest village on the plains. And a good morning from the Hilltop Grill, home of the best brunch in all of Athens, along with our network studio producer, John Essick, our on-site producer-engineer, Adam Gillespie, and my co-host, Bulldogs and Bears record-setting Hall of Fame legend Kevin Butler. I'm Jeff Dantzler, welcoming you to the Bulldog Brunch. The Red Mule grits are percolating, the gumbo stewing, the bacon-wrapped shrimp frying to a crisp. It's the best part of the week after a Georgia victory. The Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill. Got a great crowd coming in already, and KB, third shutout of the season, and those Junkyard Dogs hold Missouri to just 50 yards on the ground.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible what this defense has done. We've gone through, and we'll certainly talk about them over the next couple of hours, but how this defense is raking nationally right now is pretty incredible. You don't see it come along too many times. You see some consistently good teams that have been in the college playoffs. You always see them around the area that you're going to look and see this Georgia defense right now. But, you know, number two in scoring, right behind Ohio State, right in front of Clemson. I mean, they're right now playing at that level that they deserve that shot to get into the playoffs, and that's what's in front of them. So, huge challenge this week. The defense is going to be needed at the top. You know, everything that they do, from the red zone defense to just putting pressure on an offense from Auburn that can, I mean, they can light you up very quickly. We know that. There's some good hate between these two teams, and I think you're going to see that all rise to the top at 3:30 on Saturday.
And these two teams got it all started back at Piedmont Park in 1892, the 124th meeting coming up. All right. Dogs 27, Missouri nothing. Georgia fans at Peachtree Orthopedics, we're dedicated to helping you feel better, faster, with specialists for every body part. Healing Atlanta for over 65 years and now offering same-day and Saturday appointments. Learn more at PeachtreeOrthopedics.com. Georgia with a 27-0 victory over Missouri. We jump to the phones as we continue on. It is a beautiful, crisp autumn Sunday morning coming off a Georgia win. From the Hilltop Grill, it's the Bulldog Brunch on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
Once again, here's your host, Jeff Dantzler.
Welcome back. It's the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill. Got a great crowd assembling already. If you're in Athens, come by and see us and get yourself the Adam Gillespie special. Steak, bacon, and Red Mule grits.
It wasn't that long ago that we left each other.
Yes, it was just about 8 hours ago.
I appreciate you letting me stay over there. I woke up, I was face-to-face with Tilly this morning.
Tilly is...
And that was kind of scary.
The greatest.
Tilly looked at me like I had dog breath.
Oh, hey, those night games are tough.
They are, but it was great last night. We had a good little crowd over there at the Indigo, and I think we've seen some of them struggle over here this morning.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll get all nutritioned here, and
well, this is
they'll
the
be
place
ready for
to
a
be.
Great Sunday.
Yeah. So if you're not in Athens, or hey, if you're in Atlanta, or the you know up around the lake or wherever, just drive on over here right now.
It's a great
Enjoy
day for gumbo. It's a great day for
bacon-wrapped
toast.
That's a good call. I might get the French toast today.
It's so good. And you just, you know, me, I kind of take Liberty and I eat it with my hands.
Sure. That's not a fork food.
I couldn't do that in front of the kids, but there's no kids here.
Well, you could in front of the grandkids because they don't know any different right now, and you could show them.
They eat with their hands right now.
Of course, Bridget and AJ.
Well, AJ's figuring out he has hands. Oh, that's neat.
Great job as a solo babysitter, too.
Yeah, that was, I had to perform. Players make plays.
And you know what? You want to be a player?
You got to make plays.
You got to be a playmaker.
You got to be playmaker, baby. Right. We had some yesterday. The best one, who we got to talk about, and we've talked about him a lot, Mr. Pickens.
Big time.
Three touchdowns, one called back, two incredible catches. It really shows his athletic ability when he got that foot down in the end zone. Kind of did the little cork, little twist to get the ball. He could really be a valuable asset to us at the perfect timing, depending on how Cager comes out of his injury today. Hopefully, it sounded like it would be pretty good, so we hope for that little bit of rest, and they just treat him right during the week that we'll have him for the game, because it's going to be we're going to need every tool we have to get out of Auburn with the win.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to need every tool that's in the box for sure. And Cager, what a difference maker he is. The third down catch he had on the opening drive, and then Georgia striking to Pickens. And that's one of those deals is the passing game. You look to get it ramped up, having both of those guys there. That could really push Georgia to greater heights offensively. Phone numbers to join us, 888-813-2947. That's 888-81-DOGS. We go to the Killer from Kennesaw. Killer, good morning to you, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Good morning, Kevin and Jeff. Proud to be a Bulldog this morning, as usual. Little concern with the offense. They started out good. And then I'm not sure what happened there, but man, our defense, it has been many years since I've seen this kind of defense on our team. It reminds me of the old Irk Russell era. He said, you can't lose if they don't score.
Well, and that was a third shutout of the season last night. You got to go back to 1981 when Georgia beat Tennessee 44-0, South Carolina 24-0, and Kentucky 21-0 to find a season with three shutouts. And this day and age, is the way the rules are set, the way offenses are run, the number of plays that you have, the number of fluky things that could happen with non-offensive touchdowns as well, to go out there and record three shutouts and two of them against SEC foes.
Yeah, and I think you saw a team really give it all of their effort to try to get in that end zone down at the end, and I thought you saw a defense that had not only some starters in there, but we had some second and some third stringers in there playing really hard, knowing that they were going to be the ones that said, hey, they scored that touchdown on you guys. And that's the kind of bannering that goes back and forth between those defensive players. The guys that weren't in there, you should have seen the sideline. I hope you looked at them. That sideline was as jacked up as that point it was at the beginning of the game. And that shows something really special about this defense. And it shows that they know what they got going. You don't hear them boast about it. They don't talk during the week that they're going to do this. They just go out there. Right now, the key to that, Jeff, is just they're playing disciplined football. They're not taking the fakes. They're not losing control. And when they do that, the push up front from our big boys is the biggest difference I see this year.
And as we said, it's always a good sign when your inside linebackers are leading and tackling. And it seems like every week Crowder and Rice are around double digits.
Crowder was there yesterday. He led the team yesterday. That's why he's a finalist in the Linebacker of the Year award. And that's 2 years in a row that we've had some guys do that. So just a lot of fun that watching this defense play. Again, they're disciplined and they're physical. And more importantly, they've got some great enthusiasm out there.
And the big play we've been looking for in terms of coming up with turnovers, it only had one in the previous three games defensively. It's 10-0. Missouri's in Georgia territory. Tip pass, Richard LeCount with the interception and the long return. Now, Georgia only got three out of that, didn't get the touchdown, but the field goal there to go up 13-0, that was a huge swing because you figure with that turnover, it's probably 10-3. Well, instead, it's 13-0, and man, have we been hungry for a play like that on defense.
Well, we have been, and, it was great to see. I thought Rich was going to make it to the end zone there when he cut back across. brought a couple of defenders or the offensive guys back into play, and that's really where it stopped. But, you know, the disappointing thing about that is only coming away with 3 points.
Right. We went backwards.
Well, we did. We did. And that was, you know, they'll certainly talk about that, and they'll look at that and try to fix that up. So when you get a turnover, you want to get points. That was accomplished. You'd much rather try to get 7 than 3 at that point. But, again, Rodrigo did a great job again yesterday coming through with big points. And anytime we can do that, 3, 6, 9, 12, those points add up, and that's what we need.
All right, we got a tweet here from the lovely Mandy Culpepper. Nothing lovely about Auburn. Never forget the fire hoses. That was 1986, and they turned them on the Georgia faithful. Go Dogs. That's from Knox and Mandy there.
Yeah, I agree with Mandy there. You came out and said the loveliest town in
the loveliest village on the plains.
It's not. It's not. So don't say that again.
That's what they say. It's the loveliest village.
Who says that?
Auburn people.
Exactly.
It's the loveliest village on the plains.
Exactly.
You
want to know what the Athens people say about that? This is the loveliest town.
Well, we're not on the plains.
If we want to own the plains, we can say we own the plains.
Yeah,
they say they're a tiger, a war eagle, a plainsman. They don't know what the heck they are.
It's identity crisis.
Nowhere do you hear lovely in that.
The loveliest.
There's nothing lovely about
them. I hear you.
And I tell you what, I'm sure in this off week, a lot of them were probably meeting with agents and trying to get ready for the NFL draft. And
just get it all stirred.
Hey, the first official poll came out. Y'all want to know what the rankings are?
This is surpassed my Bulldog Illustrated poll, correct?
This is the most important poll in America.
Done by?
That'll come in a minute.
All right.
At number 4.
Yes.
We have the Ohio State Buckeyes.
All right.
At number 3.
They might beat Rutgers this coming week. I'm just going to take a guess.
I don't know. Never know.
that line might be 60, by the way.
Number 3 is Clemson.
Okay.
Clemson Tigers right up the road.
There you go.
Number 2. The University of Georgia.
Like it.
The loveliest city in America.
I agree with that. America's greatest college town.
We have one mascot, the Bulldog.
The Bulldogs.
Number 2.
Yes.
Number 1, LSU.
All right.
This was put out by none other than Rick Flair.
16 times.
Moments
world
ago.
Heavyweight champion.
Ooh, darn right.
That's the poll that matters.
If you want to go against this poll,
yeah, good luck with that.
You better not be in a ring. You better be able to run and run fast, because this guy, when Rick says it, it's etched in stone.
And let me tell you what, he comes with an open hand slap, then puts you in the figure four.
Yeah, you put one slap across the chest, then one of those.
He can go with the chop too.
Yeah, the chop and then the slap.
And then the figure four.
And then the tap out.
And it's curtains.
Yeah, yeah.
Get me out of here. Get me out of here, Percy.
So that's the first official poll. I like it.
Yep.
I'm not going to disagree with anything about it.
Listen, when the Nature Boy puts out a poll, you better believe
it. What would your poll be right now?
I've got LSU 1.
Yeah.
Ohio State 2.
Yeah.
Clemson 3.
Yeah.
Alabama 4.
Yeah.
And Georgia 5. That's my top 5, with the Minnesota Golden Gophers rolling in there at number 6. We are live.
You sure you don't have Baylor in Minnesota in front of Georgia?
And in color. They are both undefeated. The Hilltop Grill. Enjoying the best brunch in all of Athens. Yes, I do. It's the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Welcome back. It is the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill. The phone numbers to join us, 888-813-2947. That's 888-81-DOGS. We've got a great crowd here already this morning, enjoying the best brunch in all of Athens. The bacon-wrapped shrimp have arrived for us. Gumbo coming up next. Great
you
day
going
for
with gumbo,
gumbo
today?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to go all in. I'm going to go bacon-wrapped shrimp, gumbo, and French toast.
All right.
So I've got Tilly and I are solo today because my lovely wife
is going
with her lovely sister to your wife's store today.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah. Get an old wedding dress. That's something you hope to only do once.
Are y'all getting married again?
No. Jenny and Spencer tying the knot in March.
Maybe y'all could look for one of those christening dresses for the
baby. Stop. She's plotting ways to get you back for this just awful fake news.
It's not fake. It's a beautiful thing in the world.
It's fake news.
It's just unbelievable how two people that love each other can bring another life into the world.
It is a beautiful thing, but it is fake news. I'll tell you about Kirby Smart All Access. Georgia fans, you can tune in tonight at midnight for the latest episode of Kirby Smart All Access on WSB TV Channel 2. This week you'll get up close, and you can get a great look at Georgia wide receivers coach Cortez Hankton. He's going to be mic'd up. That's Kirby Smart All Access tonight at midnight on WSB TV Channel 2 or anytime next week on GeorgiaDogs.com. And I hope Lawrence Cager's okay. And Pickens, you really felt like it was one thing to do it against Murray State, but this was the SEC. And Pickens with the first touchdown, as you said, Kevin, he had great awareness. And then when Cager was out of the game, it was one of those deals. You kind of worried Georgia was dominating the game, but it's only 19-0. Then you worry, like, golly, if they get a score, then things get tight. Georgia really needed him then, and what a grab he made down in the corner.
No, he did. I mean, we've been waiting for this. I think he's been waiting for it, too. I mean, as I've told you, Jeff, I get out there and practice, try to get out there about once a week, and you see this kid make catch after catch to where now you don't hear the wows or anything. Mm-hmm. Guys are expecting it. Guys know it's going to happen. You know, those first 5 or 6 weeks he was out there, you kept going, did you see the catch he just made? Did you see his athletic ability? Did you see how he can grab it with one hand? And that's what he does. But his awareness to get that foot down yesterday in the end zone was unbelievable. What I really liked was when he went back behind him, caught that ball, he turned around right in midfield, and he knew he was close to the end zone. He split the two DBs, got that ball out over. I like that kind of physical play from a receiver. I think that's really the part that separates great receivers in college from just very, very good receivers. But the great ones have that ability to become very physical, and they always know their presence on the field.
And you can see the great ones, too. They can smell that end zone. And Pickens was able to lay out, made a great play. And he does indeed have those real strong hands. They are kind of some shades of Javon Wims, who had such a great year for the Dogs back in 2017. All right, we have got our first half hour in the books. Got 90 minutes to go. My favorite part of the week after a Georgia win, celebrating a Georgia victory with the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill. So come on down and get some French toast, some bacon-wrapped shrimp, eggs Wellington. Hey, my favorite omelet, by the way, the Creole. You know why? It's got eggs, shrimp, and cheese in it. Can't go wrong with that. That's Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill. All right, Dogs a winner, 27-0 over the Missouri Tigers. It is now 8-1 on the season for Georgia and 5-1 in Southeastern Conference play. We've got a great crowd this morning here at the Hilltop Grill. Hey, it was a cold night. People are now up and moving about. Get some Red Mule grits. Get some gumbo.
Yeah, they got the fire going over there. You can go back there. I love sitting over there next to the fire, getting the old lower back warm and thinking about your prediction yesterday. 18-17.
18-17. Georgia
winner. I hope
you
bet a lot of money on that.
Dogs a winner.
Raked it in after a good prediction like that.
Dogs a winner.
Do you have dreams? What do you do? I mean, how does this happen to you?
I always say I'll take a one-point win right now.
Well, I know what that means. But
my early lean on next week
is thought Auburn Missouri 10. Was going to be 17 and we were going to be 18.
Right. My early lean on next week is Auburn 10, Georgia 11. So I'm thinking 11 to 10 Dogs.
Are you and your wife in counseling yet?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Tech Week is always tough.
Well, and me and Emily were talking about that. We might even – I hate to do this because you've been my partner for 11 years. We might have to take you off air that week.
Well, she's been I try and be good on Thanksgiving Day that week.
Well, that's nice. That's the whole idea of Thanksgiving.
No, I know.
To be
but
nice to people.
The nerves
be
of
– thankful.
The nerves of the Tech game. And now Adam's over here telling me they're already putting up a Christmas tree.
He said they're putting it up today, which is what most confident people do. They know Christmas is going to come, so they put it up.
He hadn't broken it to little Madison yet. Yeah. You know what happens if things don't go well.
No, it doesn't happen at your house like that, does it? Y'all are a normal American family. There you go.
Phone numbers to join us, 888-813-2947. That is 888-81-DOGS, KB. Georgia held Missouri to under 200 yards. Yeah, Kelly Bryant was hurt, but the way the defense responded, just suffocating. And again, You had the two possessions where Missouri was able to put something together. LeCount has a big interception. And then when the game was obviously in hand at 27-0, you mentioned it, you could really see the pride in trying to keep the streak going about no rushing touchdowns and to keep the shutout on the board.
Well, I told you, you know, we talked about six threes and out yesterday. The defense really did a great job.
That might be the stat of the game, by the way.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, how they started out, we went 3-3-3 and then a turnover. And that really just sets the tone for the game at that point. But I think what you also see is at the end, we turn around and there's a 17-play drive, 7 minutes, 76 yards. And that's when the defense just bowed up. And that's when the sideline came alive. Most of the time at that point in the game, the sideline, they're already turned around looking in the stands, doing the dance and jumping around. They were all focused on the defense. They were all focused on that record they got going right now. Because I'll say it over and over, that is a team record that you build on when you're in team meetings. You talk about it. Everybody knows about it. And certainly it is going to be challenged this week.
Oh, man.
You're coming up to an offense that's averaging 425 yards on Auburn's team. They run the ball well. They throw the ball well. We're sitting there giving up 260 on defense. So it's going to be a great challenge. I like our defense. And I'll say it again, I like their run-stopping ability. I just haven't seen really weaknesses in that. But it's going to be tested again. As we said, each week you're going to get tested more. We're still in the playoffs, so we won another game, and now it's up to the team to win another one. And it's going to be, again, the biggest game of the year.
And no doubt about it, though, for Georgia to get over the hump, you figure with this tough Auburn defense, they're not going to be a ton of chances. But when Georgia does have the opportunity to punch it in for a touchdown, it's going to be critical to cash in Saturday.
Yeah, you know, Rodrigo is going to be very critical, too. You know, on a game like that, you know, he had a wonderful day yesterday, 4 out of 5. But, you know, next week we're going to need 5 out of 5. We're going to need 1 out of 1. We're going to need deep kickoffs. We saw a couple return yesterday, and or maybe one return yesterday, and I just can't tell you how much I think that, I say it all the time, kicking that ball out the end zone is the best thing you can do. You can't count on them fair catching it right now. Auburn's in a position where, if they can come out, they're going to come out of the end zone. They're going to try to do something to make big plays against Georgia. They have nothing to lose. They have lost 2 games already. And their 2 biggest opponents come up week to week, Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, that's their big 2 for sure. All right, well, speaking of Auburn, Columbus is right next door. We've got Daryl with us from Columbus. Daryl, good morning to you, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Hey, Daryl, what's up?
You know, there's two players that touch the football on every play. One's the center, one's the quarterback. And losing, it's just that chemistry. It seems like when the center goes out, anytime in a football game, it kind of throws the offense out of whack a little bit. Mm-hmm. But what's funny about this, I mean, Georgia don't win 60, okay, but if they would have won 40-13, it's still a 27-point win. They were 17-point favorite. They covered the spread. They won 27-0. And you know what? All they do is keep winning. So let the doubters keep doubting. So I still believe the only way Georgia can lose is if Georgia beats themselves. That's the only way they can lose a football game. That's the only way we've lost so far. But, I mean, it ain't sexy, but you know, it's still a W. It's 27-0 over a Missouri football team that had a damn good defense. You know, cold. I think you got to take a lot of things into consideration. One thing people keep forgetting is all these schools are taking their week off before they play Georgia. They got 2 weeks to prepare for Georgia. I think it's a great win, man. We're just going to keep the train rolling and keep winning. Don't know.
Yeah. 27-point SEC win, no doubt about it. And this will be the 5th of 6 opponents coming in off an open date. Georgia wound up playing 3 centers last night. After Trey Hill got hurt, Cade Mays came in. Then he got nicked up. Cade was able to come back in the game. Jamari Salyer came in. I thought he did a really good job. And this is interesting when you talk about the center position and how important it is. And you played with some great ones here at Georgia. You played with a great one with the Chicago Bears. I heard a Las Vegas handicapper talking once, and he said in the NFL, outside a quarterback, the position that if there's an injury and a player's hurt that moves the line, that moves the point spread the most is if the center's out of the game.
Yeah, I think you see that probably a little bit more in the NFL because, again, you don't have that depth. And I think it's something that we kind of – prepare for on a daily basis with Coach Sam, you know, he likes to shuffle those guys around. So it's not awkward for Cade to flop over in practice and you know, play center. The most important thing is that exchange. We saw one mess up yesterday, and I really don't recall. I didn't see it from behind if it was a bad snap or if Jake wasn't looking. It looked kind of high, hit it, but Jake got on the ball. You got to minimize that. You can't take a 7, 8, 12-yard loss on a bad snap. So I like the availability of our players. You know, it's like chess movement. Man, you're going, I'm going to take this guy, put him over here, here, over here. You're center now. They all communicate very well. I think that's what they do on a daily basis, and that eliminates a lot of that, I guess, stress that happens when you lose a starting center. But Georgia, I think, covered for that very good yesterday.
And all the injuries on the offensive line, that certainly affects the continuity up there.
No doubt. And, you know, after that game, you're looking at the 10th-ranked defense in America. That is Missouri. They are ranked number 10 in total defense. So they're giving up around 270 yards a game. And Georgia went out there yesterday and hung, you know, 300-400 yards on them. I think that's what you've got to look at, and that's what you've got to understand. We were right there yesterday. It was at 398 maybe, or very close to 400 yards, and Missouri's good. I mean, the 287 they're giving up, Georgia surpassed that, and we shut them out. It was just a great win yesterday.
Yeah,
I really
was.
Believe it was.
It was a 27-point win in the SEC. Let's go to Rick from Roswell. Rick, thank you for holding. Good morning to you, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Listen, opposite of the other caller, I mean, he is pumping sunshine, and that's great. But let's be real here, Kevin. You say Missouri's got the number 10th-ranked defense.
Yeah, well, I do. That's, you know, that's exactly what it says right here.
All right. Well, look at their schedule. You know, they just have played a lot of poor teams. And, you know, the bottom line is this. Our defense is good. Now, we haven't played great offenses, but they've stepped up when they needed to. The offense yesterday, let's be real here, it was sputtering. And, you know, they're going against, yes, Missouri's defense is ranked well, but, you know, come on, let's be real here. They're not a good team.
We're being real.
So still,
Rick,
it seems,
we're real. You said be real about four
Rick,
times.
How it has
been.
So, okay. But Ohio State's the number one defense in America right now. What great opponents have they played?
Yeah, I was watching our offense last night. Can you really tell me that was an offense that you feel comfortable about in a big game?
Well, Rick, here's the deal.
Absolutely.
This offense, yes, it can produce. Now, listen, we've gotten spoiled the last 2 years with how explosive this team has been. Now, even taking seniors out of the mix, you think about players who are not here for one reason or the other from last year off of that offense, particularly pass catchers, Isaac Dowda, Jeremiah Holloman, Riley Ridley, Elijah Holyfield. That is Mecole Hardman, who's probably going to be the rookie of the year. That is a lot of juice. And with those explosive plays that Georgia lost, when you lose that, you lose margin for error. That's why Georgia's facing a lot more third downs. This team is going to have to march to win games. You win by 27, that's always a good thing. A lot of the things the offense is doing, it's playing towards the defense too. So this is not a team that's going to go out there and score in the upper 30s or 40s unless you get a couple of breaks, unless the special teams or the defense comes up there. Georgia's going to have to win games 24-17, 17-10, and that's okay. This is where the attrition just absolutely hammered Georgia, but I think you're seeing with the emergence of George Pickens, hopefully Cager's okay, that this offense does have the potential to really hit its stride and be at its best at the most important time of the year.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to figure out what does he see that we need to improve in tremendously? We're averaging 450 yards a game. We're over 6.5 yards a clip. You can win championships with that. I don't know if you need to have flashier plays to make you excited about it. Is it the best? Is it the most exciting offense? Absolutely not. But can defenses stop it? The only defense that stopped us this year was us. Four turnovers. Georgia still produced on offense that day. Guess what they produced a lot of? Turnovers.
Four of them.
Yeah, and that's what happened. So, you can sit there and, say, can they get better? Yeah, they can get better. Are they capable of winning championships right now with the offense they play? Absolutely are. And if you You just need to, I guess, dive a little deeper into the educational book of football to figure out what works and what doesn't.
Well, so much of it, too, it's the fantasy footballization of America and just the score. I mean, here's the deal. LSU and Alabama, that was a great game yesterday. They've both got great teams. Yeah, they're outstanding. One of them gave up 46. One of them gave up 41. You know, it just seems with, I guess, the culture we're in when it comes to football, that just the offense gets a lot more attention. And so would you have rather won, you know, let's see, what do we win by 20? Would you have rather won 47-20 or 27-0? I mean, I guess it's personal preference. It's a 27-point win. And, yeah, the offense can get better. I mean, we broke down in the red zone a couple of times and missed some opportunities. But this offense does have the ability and has shown the ability to be beyond good enough to win. I mean, you know, beat Notre Dame, beat Florida. But if you think that all of a sudden things are going to click when you lose a Mecole Hardman, a Jeremiah Holloman, an Isaac Downa, a Riley Ridley, you know, guys who could all be here. And, again, Mecole's really the only one of those guys who made the right decision in leaving. You know, it's just not realistic to think that you could go out, that you're going to go out there and score 45, 50 points a game. That's not who this team is.
And guess what? Me and you? We're not suck-ups.
No.
We tell it like it is.
No. Let's be real.
Let's be real.
We're being real.
Hey, and I really do feel that they are capable of doing it right now. I think that we play a lot to our opponent, and if we can beat them by time possession, you know, again, you take that last drive that came up with nothing, 17 plays, you take those 6 minutes away, you know, we're possessing the ball for over a quarter more than the other team. Did that end up like it was? No, but we certainly controlled that ball game yesterday. And I liked how we finished that game on defense.
I did too.
And I think our offense could have kept driving and driving. And, Missouri does have a good defense. And, you know, it really doesn't matter about who they played or what they've done. They have guys that will be at the next level off of that defense. And there's no doubt about that. And that's what you should probably try to look at when you watch the game over.
And by the way, Missouri, you talk about a team, they have churned out defensive linemen of the NFL. As good as anybody. Bunch of them. All right, let's run into a timeout. Dogs win 27-0. Georgia fans, when you win an SEC game by 27, you should enjoy it. Are there ways to get better? Absolutely. But Georgia just won by 27. Hey, you could be an Arkansas fan. That'd be rough.
Whew.
That'd be real rough.
If that coach makes it past this show – that'll be the best win he had all year.
The Razorback brunch there in the Central Time Zone, that starts an hour after ours, so we'll see if they –
there's bacon frying in that state right now.
If they roll through that. We have got Greg with us on deck, and we will jump to him as we continue on with the best brunch in all of Athens. It's the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill on the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network.
Hello.
Well, Kevin Butler signing autographs over there.
Oh,
he's
no,
famous.
You were too. Lovely family, beautiful
from,
kids.
From LaGrange, Georgia, rolling in. A little
that's
Granger
kinda,
pride
that's
over there.
That's kind of down over near the enemy.
That's near the plains.
The plains. Where do they come up with that stuff?
Well, it's on the plains of eastern Alabama. It's geography is where they came up with it.
I don't know.
I know.
It.
You just hate them because they ditched you at the Auburn Supper Club. On
yeah,
a,
it
on
goes
a, lonely,
a little deeper.
Dark road.
It goes a little deeper than that, but we won't get into it right now.
I think they filmed two Stephen King movies down that road where they left you, too.
He's got a new one out. You seen the new
oh,
one?
Oh, yeah. It's a little
Twins back.
40 years later from Red.
Yeah, that's The Shining.
The Shining.
That's a good movie right there. You like that one, Adam?
That's one you don't want to watch alone at home.
No, you do. You want to watch it alone at home.
Okay.
And then the electricity goes off.
Yeah, that's
and the flashlight doesn't
good.
Work.
Whoo!
And you hide behind the chainsaws.
That's a pretty good commercial,
that's
by the
great
way.
Commercial.
At Peachtree Orthopedics, we're dedicated to helping you feel better faster with specialists for every body part. Healing Atlanta for over 65 years and now offering same-day and Saturday appointments. Learn more at PeachtreeOrthopedics.com. Let's go to Greenwood, South Carolina, fine town. We've got Greg with us. Greg, good morning to you, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Good morning, guys. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, Greg, what's up?
I wanted to tie in a little bit with what y'all said first. Yes, the defense has played great this year. I think if you looked at where we've tried to get to the past couple years, stopping the run, getting better that way, we have really improved on that. We've done great. And you know what? As far as the defense, you don't know in the if we get to play a team like Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, the way the game is now, teams are going to score. So, I mean, I think we're in position defensively to potentially win a championship. I do want to say, we're on the same page there. On the offense, I do agree we also have the potential there. I do want to say two things, X's and O's, that I'm concerned about. Number one, we line up in an RPO formation, but we don't RPO. So we're essentially telling the defense which side of the ball we're going to run to. I don't like that. I really wish we lined up in the pistol. Not my decision, but I really think that allows the tailback to get more speed to the line of scrimmage, hit the hole better. I'm with you, Jeff. I like the fullback, but if we're not going to do it, at least put the tailback in a position to come up to the line at a better angle. And number two, also, we're throwing 50-50s consistently to the outside. I don't know if that's Jake locking in on one receiver or not seeing some of the open plays in the middle of the field, which I think he's going to have to go to. I'm positive like y'all. I think we can get there. But those two things, if we can work those out offensively, I think we'll be where we need to be because I do think our defense has really come around the past couple of years, and I'm excited by it. But
all right, Greg.
Guys,
hey,
that's all
you.
I had.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And by the way, I love the little toss sweeps we ran yesterday, and utilizing the middle of the field. Hey, the first touchdown to Pickens was over the middle of the field. So that's right. When you can control that middle of the field, that just opens up everything.
Well, I think that's exactly what we plan for. I know a lot of people out there don't understand or don't believe that they really are setting up tendencies to later in the year buck those tendencies and do something different. We're getting into the meat of the schedule for us at game 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, hopefully. And, you know, we've got to do different things. And though we practice every day, we practice stuff that our fans haven't seen. The team practices on a daily basis. And these things that you bring out at certain times in the year. And we're at a point where Auburn is one of those teams where we're going to do a few different things. We have to do a few different things to keep them off balance. And just as our caller said, you know, that RPO, it's not much there. We talk about it. How many times do you think Jake could just hold it, belly back around, and nobody is on that side of the field? When that happens, everybody's going to smile because it's going to happen at the right time. And I believe those games, that's where it's coming up. I think you're also going to see our tight end get a little bit more involved. That really dictates that middle of the field. So, you know, the tight ends are just physical right now. I don't know if you saw the block that Charlie Warner hit yesterday.
Oh, the reverse.
He lifted that kid off the ground and dropped him on his back. So, we're going to see those guys get a lot more.
Hour number one in the books. The Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill and the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network. A dominating defensive performance. Georgia tops Missouri 27-0. The sixth-ranked Bulldogs now 8-1 on the season, 5-1 in the Southeastern Conference, and it's another mega showdown on Saturday against the Auburn Tigers on the Plains. Good morning from the Hilltop Grill, home of the best brunch in all of Athens, along with our network studio producer, John Essick, our on-site producer, engineer, Adam Gillespie, and my co-host, Bulldogs and Bears, record-setting multi-Hall of Fame legend Kevin Butler. I'm Jeff Dantzler, welcoming you to the Bulldog Brunch. We got French toast on the way. We got gumbo on the way. The bacon-wrapped shrimp
are fantastic. What was delivered?
And just when you think it can't get any better.
It got better.
The shrimp off.
Yeah.
I was promised by George from Marker 7 that if the Bulldogs beat Missouri, Taylor did it last year, we would have us a good old-fashioned shrimp off. So the buffalo shrimp from Marker 7, sister restaurant, and the bacon-wrapped shrimp.
Yeah.
It's just greatness on greatness.
It's pretty darn good. You know, anytime you take that buffalo sauce and the blue cheese crumbles, you're starting something special right there. And those shrimp right there are very, very good.
Well, and it's one of those deals, just like, well, which one's better? It's like, well, all right, that's like asking you to pick between Herschel Walker and Walter Payton. I mean, you got the greatest of the greatest. Herschel was the greatest college football player ever.
Yeah.
Walter Payton was a pretty good running back.
Greatest professional ever.
So there you go. You got the greatest and the greatest.
Yeah, I just picked each of them.
There you go.
That's what we did. We picked each of the shrimp.
Kathy Ireland or Elle McPherson?
Kathy Butler.
There you go.
See how that
works?
Home
run right there for who your favorite SS swimsuit model was.
I don't have one of those.
Or maybe an Instagram model. Who knows? 888-813-2947. 888-81-NUS. Where's Tony Schiavone when you need him?
Yeah.
Yes, it is the best brunch in all of Athens. But I just got some of the sauce from the bacon-wrapped shrimp and the buffalo shrimp just on my phone.
Well, the buffalo shrimp, I was down getting some coffee this morning downtown, and I was walking, and there was like a piece of pizza sitting on the sidewalk. And I'm telling you, that piece of pizza,
you put some of that sauce
on there, it'd probably be pretty good right
now.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be bad at all, 100%. So we're having a great morning here.
But we don't have to do that
here,
because we have the finest chefs in the land.
Well,
here
you got Bert running the show here. It is awesome stuff, and Adam's about to just do one of the most impressive feats you've ever seen when he does all in one motion, when he does the stab,
he brought his own knife this
week, and the lift, and the thing is with that steak, it's cut. The pieces they're of equal size. I don't know how he does it. It's like muscle memory for great golfers, I think.
That's exactly right.
We love the Hilltop Grill, love Marker 7, and loving ourselves a good old-fashioned shrimp off after a big Georgia win last night, 27-0 over the Missouri Tigers. Also want to send out a happy birthday to our friend Howard Taylor from the UGA Bookstore. Saw Howard last night at the Indigo. Kevin's all choked up over that. He ate too many shrimp, man. And Bulldog fans,
you're not supposed to eat the tail.
Shop the UGA Bookstore for the best of Georgia gear right next door to Sanford Stadium or online 24/7 at ugabookstore.com. The UGA Bookstore, it's where the dogs shop. You know what Howard said they sold out of last night? Blankets.
Well, I can understand why.
Yes, because it was chilly out there, but great football weather.
It was great
weather
to see Howard last night popping by there, celebrating his birthday.
Happy, happy birthday to our friend Howard Taylor. I got some tweets that we'll jump to. We got Sherry, looking forward to the Bulldog Brunch. Thank you very much, Sherry. We've got Chris. Thank you very much, Chris. We got Daryl sending us a good go, dogs. Thank you to Rambo. Thank you to Jason Huggins, the Hug Dog. Great day in Athens. A big shout-out to the Red Coat Band, 100%, and the God Bless America with 90,000 singing in unison was awesome. All of our Purple Heart heroes lined up out there. It was really a great scene. Veterans Day tomorrow, so kudos to the Red Coat Marching Band.
That was great, him singing that. He's from the Atlanta Opera.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. I just was wondering, do you think it messed with him when everybody else started singing along?
It could have. It's Timothy Miller.
Miller's
he's what they call, he's a tenor.
No, he's a singer.
I think that's the same thing, but maybe a different style.
There he goes, trying to outsmart
that's
me.
That's kind of like playing the
a busting, though, didn't
a guitar or the mandolin. Now, notice I said a guitar.
That's called a banjo.
Banjo, there you go. I used to love Hee Haw, Roy Clark, and Buck Owens. Roy Clark had the banjo, and Buck Owens had the guitar.
Roy was one of the most accomplished banjo players ever.
You know who else is a good banjo player? Steve Martin.
Do you remember Kelly Thurman? Tennis player for Georgia?
Yes.
Very, very good banjo player.
Now, I'm sure there's a story behind that.
Well, it's a banjo and a guy. That's the story.
That sounds like the title of a great country song.
Banjo and a guy?
Banjo or a good band, maybe.
You know what?
Banjo and a guy.
If it was banjo and a guy, the key to that song would be his girlfriend's name, Banjo.
There you go.
That's how country songs work.
He plays the banjo, and he married Banjo. 888-81-DOGS. 888-813-2947.
A banjo.
That could be dangerous there. You don't want to cross banjo. By the way, my wife is very mad at you for spreading that fake news. We've got Adam and Jeff waiting online. That's not the Road Dog and me. It is the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill. French toast and gumbo on the way. It's the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill on the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network. Dogs a winner, 27-0 over Missouri. Welcome back to the Hilltop Grill. It's the Bulldog Brunch. It's the best brunch in all of Athens. Bacon-wrapped shrimp. Buffalo shrimp from Marker 7, the shrimp off.
Just the buffalo sauce. I'd drink that.
On the way, Red Mule grits. On the way, French toast, gumbo. It is a winning morning. Happy birthday going out to Lynn down in Effingham County. Huge Bulldogs fan, turning 50 today. And if you get a little banged up, hey, celebrating your birthday, go to Peachtree Orthopedics, dedicated to helping you feel better faster with specialists for every body part, healing Atlanta for over 65 years and now offering same-day and Saturday appointments. Learn more at PeachtreeOrthopedics.com. Danielle.com. Be careful there, Danielle. We had a pretty big spillage here. I just have to say, it wasn't me.
It was him.
It was not my fault.
It was him.
Do not believe this man. He's a purveyor of fake news. Adam, in Columbus.
Adam, what does that mean?
Adam, good morning to you, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Hey, Adam.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning. It's frustrating hearing some of the fans talk about our offense sputtering. At the game last night, Missouri was stacking the box with more players than I think I've seen in a while. There were sometimes they had 7 to 8 players right there in between the hash marks with no safety. So we had one-on-one shots on the outside, but it kind of makes sense how we weren't able to get much of a run game, but we were still able to put up 27 points. And then again, you look at our defense, Florida scored 56 points on Vanderbilt yesterday, and we were able to shut them down for the most part. So I say go Dawgs, keep doing what we're doing, and we're hitting all the right times at the right time of the year.
All right, thank you very much, Adam. The thing, too, certainly should have been a TD when Jake had Eli there, maybe just a hair late, or maybe Eli needs to come back for the ball. This is frustrating, though. Two straight weeks, KB, we've had a long touchdown called back because of a penalty, and we've gotten away with it.
Yeah, those things can most of the time really ruin your day.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it's almost like, you know, the punt block or, you know, a block field goal. When those things happen, those are those trend plays which puts you in a tough situation. Georgia's overcome those for 2 weeks. That will not be the case going forward. We cannot allow ourselves to have 7 points brought off the board, 3 points brought off the board by making mental mistakes, and that's really what it boils down to. One was an illegal procedure, and then we had a holding. That's things that, you know, could go either way. Legal procedure, get set. There's no excuse for that. The holding, always subjective call. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it.
Well, and you think about there just if Jake and Eli can connect for that touchdown, if there's not the penalty on the long touchdown, that's 11 points. That's 38 points instead of 27. I mean, that's a big difference. But in the end, Georgia played great last night. You know, could things be better? Yeah, but Georgia won by 27 points in an SEC game. Enjoy it. Jeff from Orange Beach, Alabama. Hey, that's where the SEC soccer tournament is. Jeff, good morning to you, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Good morning, guys. Go Dawgs. What a great victory. Defense, awesome. A little concerned about the offense. So what are y'all's thoughts?
Yeah, well, that's what we've been talking about. I think that, you know, the offense, you can break it down either way. If, you know, the old half glass is full, half the glass is empty. I mean, that's what you're looking at right now. Again, total yards, we were 340 yards last night. This team's given up about 280. They played hard. We had 35 to 24 minutes of possession. The last, you know, possession by, you know, Missouri, they really – controlled the ball, and they took it down there. I think it was 17 plays it was in 7 minutes. So that was their one big go at it. Late in the game, fourth quarter, our defense responded when they got down inside our red zone, came out of there 0 points in the red zone. I just think it was a great defensive effort by our guys. And on the other side of the offense, just like you say, 27, had one called back, had to fight through some injuries. Some people made a little bit of coming out. I love what George Pickens did last night. I'm happy with where they're at. I think you're going to see a explosive offense next week. A very good defense.
Yeah, against a great defense. It's just one of those things with this team. I think we've gotten spoiled with the points that Georgia put up the last two seasons and how all that played out and the blowout wins. Georgia won by 27. Like I said, you almost feel like some people would be happier if it was 47 to 20. And if that's the case, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is not a team that is built to get up there game after game in the upper 30s or in the 40s. That's not to say it can't happen. I think for that to happen, you'd have to get a play or two on special teams or on defense. But Georgia was darn close to being there last night. Yeah.
I think a good friend of mine, Scott Spencer, just summed it up. He goes, are these disgruntled Bama fans really calling in?
Georgia won by 27 in an SEC game to go 8-1. You just and I get it. I am a victim growing up with Coach Dooley and the Mighty Munson. It's like, oh, my gosh, you, is the sky falling here? You're a natural-born pessimist there, but you got to enjoy these wins, and you got to enjoy the good times. And then, you know, you look at places like Florida State or even Arkansas has no hope whatsoever, no hope right now. And you look at where Georgia's sitting, and, yeah, we all want to get to the mountaintop. So much pressure coming into this season because there was that narrative of you-know-what or bust. But this team, the way they've responded after the loss to South Carolina, I've been very impressed. And I'll say one more time as we go into the break, I think the best thing that happened to this team was having to win that Kentucky game under adverse circumstances in the rain. They had to go out and fight to do it. If it would have been a pristine night and Georgia wins 45-10, maybe this, oh, everything's okay, we just had an off day. I think that kept the edge. I think it kept the fire. There were 2 weeks of hearing what Georgia wasn't good at, and this team has responded in championship fashion.
And you were very happy when you came in last night, so I knew that something had gone right.
Yeah.
Because usually you're
glum.
The Grim Reaper.
Yeah. Won 27-0. Yeah, it could have been better. It could have been more, no doubt. But you win an SEC game by 27. That is a good thing.
You and get a cigar.
And I will thanks to my buddy Rob for bringing me this. And I will bring you back. Just in 2015, Georgia beat Georgia Southern in overtime in the last home game of the year. The next home game, Kirby's first home game, we beat Nicholls State by 2 points. So we just won an SEC game.
Did Nicholls win a championship that year?
Nicholls State did not.
Darn.
Oh, boy. Guess who's on deck when we return? It is Rutherford as we are live and in color enjoying the best brunch in all of Athens. It's the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill here on the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network. Welcome back. It's the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill. My wingman has abandoned me. Nice job, Iceman. Adam Gillespie's about to field a call. He's sitting across the way. Our buddy John Essick back at Mission Control. Watch out, one of Kevin's fans has broken some glass in here. There was shrapnel and everything. The phone numbers to join us, 888-813-2947. That's 888-81-DOGS. KB had to go warm up that back by the fire there. Hey,
I saw some of my good friends, the Dentons, were in here, and they just came over from Bulldog Park. They were out there and stayed out there. They have a spot out there, and they just said what a great weekend it is to be here in Athens, GA. So.
Well, if we make it to Atlanta, Athens to Savannah, Bulldog Boogie tonight, or in this case, this morning with the Bulldog Brunch, Rutherford is with us. Rutherford, good morning, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Hey, National Quarterback Association. I wanted to inform first, I don't have a television or any type of electronics, but I do have two radio programs that I listen to. I listen to the ball game and then the call-in. And that's it for me for radio. But I wanted to comment on yesterday's game, listening on the radio. It seems like our team is programmed for third and long. And it's not hard to do. Once you get used to a quarterback, it's not hard to say, well, but he's going to pull us out of third and long. And we're programmed for that right now. It's what it seems like. Now, a lesson could be learned from the third-string quarterback in the fourth quarter of the other team. I think he threw 5-6 beeline passes. And it sounded impressive. I think we intercepted him, though, down there near the goal line or something. But if you guys want to really look at a real quarterback, see if you can find some footage of Johnny Unitas. I think he started in 56 and played through 77. He had over 20 years in professional football.
And, well, he was one of the all-time greats. Thank you for the call there, Rutherford. Yeah, certainly Johnny U, and handed it to Alan Amici there in the greatest pro football
game
ever.
He puts a lot of time in that quarterback position.
He does. He does.
Part of the, the National Quarterback Association.
Yeah, that it is. And Jake, once again, just making some huge.
NQA, I believe they call it.
Huge third down throws. Hey, the one on the first touchdown drive to Cager down the left sideline was mighty big.
Spectacular.
Spectacular. Put it up there. All right. We got 30 minutes to go. We have eaten all the shrimp. Just all the shrimp for us. There's still shrimp for everybody else to eat here.
There is.
The bacon-wrapped shrimp. Thank you to the gang, George and Taylor and RJ and everybody at Marker 7 for delivering the buffalo shrimp. We are enjoying the best brunch in all of Athens. It's the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill on the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network. Welcome back. It is the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill. Adam Gillespie and John Essick, our dynamic duo. To my left, Bulldogs and Bears, multiple Hall of Fame record-setting legend Kevin Butler. I'm Jeff Dantzler. I want to send out a big happy 15th birthday to Hunter Brown. His dad, Kevin, was a terrific tailback back in the 80s. Heck of a special teams player. I never will forget he had a broke one late against Vandy in 1987. We won 52-24 up there.
And his son is how old?
Said he's turning 15 today.
15, man. Well,
happy
next
birthday,
year, guess
Hunter.
What he gets? Gets a brand new car next year.
There you
year.
Go, Hunter. You hear that?
Congratulations.
Kevin Butler just promised you a new car.
Uncle Jeff will get that for you.
We'll jump right on it. I want to go down to Savannah, Georgia, to a very good friend of ours.
Does he sit on the end of the bar?
Cliff?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Cliff doesn't do things like that.
I thought it was the other Cliff.
He's a great – no, Cliff Claver. No, this is Cliff.
I thought it was Cheers.
This is Cliff M., not Cliff C. Cliff, good morning to you, my friend, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Good morning, guys, and I want to thank you again for getting up early every Sunday morning and doing the job that lies near us and keeping us plugged in as we drive back home to Savannah. But no question here. I just want to make a comment. All of us in Savannah are so proud to have Demetrius Robertson on our team. And, he still hasn't been able to hook up with Jake on a long bomb yet, but he almost broke it last night on that end around. And I still think that D-Rob's going to make a big difference for us before the season's over.
Cliff, I agree with you 100%, and thank you so much. We certainly appreciate the call and appreciate everything you do for Georgia. When you're talking about a seed field that runs wide and deep, Cliff, you've got it. And with D-Rob, that was a great play on the reverse. And like you said, KB, as things evolve, who knows, maybe next week he does get one deep. And by the way, the plays within the plays, I'm going on a tangent here. I got all excited. On that reverse, you mentioned it earlier, the block that Charlie Werner had leading the way.
Yeah. I mean, he came from across the line, so he stepped back and goes and leads on the reverse coming around and just annihilated their defensive end or their linebacker, whoever it came across. I think his number was 41. It looked like a messed up 14 after the hit.
It was a 1 and an H.
Yeah, yeah. It turned into a letter. He hit him so hard. So, that's the kind of stuff you see. You see one of those plays every now and then. So you take Auburn, for instance, they've got to go over all that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pretty darn big playbook right now Georgia has out there on offense, though we don't see it every week. Auburn, A&M, Georgia Tech, the championship game, whatever comes after that, you've got to respect all that. You've got to put that in your game plan. You've got to know when certain guys are in play what Georgia's tendencies are at that point. I think D-Rob's going to come out there, make some big plays. His speed is dangerous. He is a force when he's on the field. We just want to see him use more, just like Cliff said down there. I'd love to see him use more. I think we will start seeing him on the field and his presence felt a little bit more.
And by Nolan Smith also grew up in Savannah. Talking about those true freshmen, Nolan Smith, Trayvon Walker, N'Kobe Dean, Tyreek Stevenson did a lot of good things defensively again last
absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely. Those are the guys that are building the foundation of this team. And right now, I like how they're developing it. I like what they're doing. I like the force they play with, and I certainly like their focus.
Let's go to Jake from Cumming, GA. That's home of a great Georgia Bulldog club there, the Lanier 400 Bulldog Club. Jake, good morning to you, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Well, guys, thanks for taking my call. I want to make a comment and a question for our Hall of Fame kicker, Kevin. I called in last week. Didn't get a chance to ask the question, but my comment leads into the question. I am concerned, though, about us having relied so much on Rodrigo's field goals, which is great. I understand him. Against South Carolina, it kind of came down to what happened, was the blocked field goal and him missing the one to the left. And it does concern me. I'm thankful we have him, but we can't continue down the road just relying upon field goals. But here's my question. Now, this is the thing that bothers me. South Carolina lost to App State yesterday. They've got a pretty good club. But anyway, my question to Kevin is, Kevin, on the blocked field goal against South Carolina. Does who is responsible? Because the guy that blocked it on the left side of the line was able to get his hand up and block it. Is it because the line was getting pushed back too far, or was it low trajectory on Rodriguez's side, or both? I'll listen. Take a call. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate the phone call, and I believe it really was a combination of both. You know, the kick could have been higher. There was a little bit of penetration, but I just didn't see that lineman penetrate so much that he can jump up and get that hand, even extend it like that. You really got to be talking about a pretty lengthy player up there that gets a pretty good timely jump, and that hand gets up in the air. That kick was a little low, and since then I think Rodriguez worked on getting that ball up a little higher. It's simply just a matter of keeping that head still at impact. If you start sliding forward with that kick and your legs swinging, the ball's just going to go a little bit lower, and then you start to bring in the block possibility at that point. On those field goals yesterday, I think Rodrigo got them up high quick. They look good.
And I was worried about the 48-yarder at 10-0. You're thinking, like, okay, because the wind was a little bit tricky. It was cold last night. He hit it great. And, again, at that point, I felt – after the turnover when LeCount made the big play, the offense goes backwards in that spot. I thought it was essential to get points because that's one of those where Missouri's going to be thinking if Georgia doesn't score, my goodness, nothing's gone right. It's only 10-0. That could have given them a huge lift. So I thought Rod's 48-yarder to make it 13-0 was one of the three or four biggest moments in the game.
I do too. And I think, you know, what came back to me at that point, and Jeff, me and you were sitting there watching it together in the old Alabama championship game. Nodden makes the big run. We get down there and we come away with nothing. Again, we said it right then. That's the kind of play that all of a sudden, even though they turned it over, they made it into a positive play for Missouri. We didn't let that happen with Rod getting those 3 points out. That put a little nail there in the coffin. Wasn't driven into the coffin, but we had another one in there that we could start tapping on, and that's what happens. So you want to make sure, I understand what the caller's saying about it. You don't want to rely on 3-3-3. But when you do,
you got to make them.
You want to come away with those three.
And I think when you can think back to some disappointing losses through the years, it was red zone failures compounded by missed field goals. Yesterday, Georgia came up empty in the red zone a couple of times, but Georgia was able to accumulate points. It was extra big to get that touchdown on the board first to make it 7-0. So then you weren't fighting those ghosted demons quite as much. But from 10 to 13 to 16 to 19, then you put yourself in a position to where if you do get a touchdown, then you've delivered that knockout blow.
Yeah, you know, once you get 16, you get a little bit of relief there because you got your two scores.
Yep.
But you're still kind of kicking yourself in the butt for not making it a bigger lead. And then you really do bring yourself down when you pull the touchdown back. You know, Georgia was really starting to separate themselves at that point. You turn around, you do that. You know, it kind of demoralized a little bit, but I think this team's character, as we're seeing it develop still, they're resilient like that. I think not a lot upsets this team. You know, we used to talk about, boy, if they fall behind, can they get back in the game? Well, they can. And they don't fall behind that much because of how good their defense is playing. And if you can work off your defense and complement that defense a little bit more than field goals complement them, Georgia's going to be tough to beat.
I agree with you 100%, good sir. Let's go to Bob. He's right here in Athens. Bob, good morning to you, and welcome to the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill.
Hello, you call for Bob?
Yeah, Bob, go ahead.
All right. Jeff, I just wanted to give people a little perspective. I attended my first Georgia game in 1956, and I haven't missed many over that period of time.
Well, let me just say, first of all, thank you for all of your support, and that was a year before we broke the drought. So God bless you for being a great Bulldog for a long time.
Well, Jeff, you knew my dad, Dr. Bowen. He ran the scoreboard at the stadium for about 35 years.
Yes, sir.
I sat up there with him many years and helped him run the scoreboard. But what I would just ask these people that are getting so bent out of shape, we're 8-1. We're ranked in the top five. Go back to 1956 and come forward and find out how many times over that period of time, at this point in the year, we've been 8-1 and ranked in the top five. So we need to enjoy the ride. The second thing I would say is it's all what's happened lately. And I would just say right now everybody's all fired up about the defense. Well, but we go back. We didn't face the guy we thought we were going to face at quarterback at South Carolina, not at Kentucky, not at Florida, and not at Missouri, when you think in terms of what we were expecting at the first of the year. And then on offense, people are worried about Jake. When y'all were talking about the missing receivers, you didn't mention Terry Godwin, who made one of the great catches in the
Yeah, he was a senior, though, so there wasn't the possibility that he would be here. But, yeah, I mean, no, there's tremendous attrition there, no doubt.
But my point is the people that are questioning Jake, he's missing Hardman, he's missing Ridley, he's missing Nauta, he's missing Godwin. He thought he was going to have Holloman back, and he lost him. Then we get to the South Carolina game, and he loses Cager. So I want to know what quarterback in the history of college football is down to, if you're talking about what he was throwing to last year, his seventh option.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. And, you know, when you think about it, Kevin, as far as wide receiver pass catchers, Tyler Simmons was the leading returning receiver with 9 catches this year. So it's been, you know, a lot of it has been about getting a timing and a rhythm down with a new group of guys. But again, and one thing I've had to kind of train myself to do just from growing up, where the Florida game was a 9th game of the year, then you had Auburn, then you had Tech, and then a bowl game. Well, now that Florida game is pretty much the halfway point of the year. And if you're talking about the potential to make it to Atlanta, a big bowl, and who knows, you know, maybe like 2 years ago, there is so much football still to go. And just for so many of us coming up, you're thinking at this point of the year, well, it's the home stretch. We've only got a game or two to go. Well, now that there is so much, and that's why you need those reinforcements. You know, mentioning those 4 freshmen on defense, you've got to have those quote unquote fresh troops come in there. So I think as the seasons have gotten so much longer, continuing to see that progression and maybe some new wrinkles throughout the year, I think it's become more and more important.
Yeah, I mean, it really has. I think what goes on in the room is you don't hear talk about, gosh, we don't have the guys we had last year. That's not even an option. That's not even something that they talk about. Jake doesn't think about that. Jake thinks about Cager. Jake thinks about Pickens. He thinks about Jackson. He thinks about Swift being out there. He thinks about the guys that are there right now, and it's up to those guys to step up. It'd be great to go back in history, bring a couple of the guys back that we could use, but that's not how it works. We've got to have these guys start to make plays. Jake has to find the rhythm with them. There's no other excuse. You have no other options. You are playing with the people that are out there. Make the best of it. Don't live in the past. Don't worry about that. I understand what you say. 7 receivers, that's deep. But the receivers he's throwing to are very talented. They just need to become playmakers.
Got to be a playmaker to be a player. And by the way, if Pickens has indeed, you know, if this was his coming out party, and if Cager is healthy, that's different when you got 2 guys that look like that at 6'4" who can go grab it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they're both big, intimidating receivers that are so talented, and they both like to get physicals, and that's what I was talking about earlier.
Little Livy Newton-John, like in your video, let's get physical. Calling all dogs, be sure to subscribe to the brand-new Georgia Bulldogs podcast. That's PAWDCAST. Weekly, you'll receive exclusive on-demand audio content from the Georgia Bulldogs radio network, including Coach Kirby Smart's weekly press conferences, this very show, the Bulldog Brunch, voted most popular show in the history of radio, Bulldogs Live, throwback game broadcast, wins only, and more. Subscribe and download to the podcast today. When we come back, we'll have Randy with us. First, we need to run to a timeout and eat some gumbo as we enjoy the best brunch in all of Athens. It's the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Welcome back. It's the Bulldog Brunch from the Hilltop Grill. And I just got a little extra Tabasco in that bite of gumbo. It is really, really good. Good to see our friend Will here giving us a good go, dogs. Huck's disappeared somewhere, but our buddy Daryl Huckabee floating through here. And listen, if you're ever banged up, you need to go to Peachtree Orthopedics. dedicated to helping you feel better faster, with specialists for every body part. Healing Atlanta for over 65 years and now offering same-day and Saturday appointments. Learn more at PeachtreeOrthopedics.com. And as we learned, even if you're attacked by an orca, Peachtree Orthopedics, they got you covered. Let's go to Randy from Auburn. Randy, is this Auburn, Georgia, or Auburn on the plane?
Because if it's Auburn on the plane,
oh, yes, it's your man, Randy Savage, flying high above not-so-beautiful Jordan-Hare Stadium in the Goodyear blimp, sipping on yet another glass of tomato juice. Hey, guys, I've been looking around Toomer's Corner to try to pick up a little toilet paper to dab some eyes for next weekend when we play Auburn. But, hey, I know that Missouri is the show-me state. What the heck did they show me? Hey, I got a one question for y'all. I know y'all are the two smartest guys I know besides my good buddy Barney Fife. Hey, next week it says on the schedule that we play Auburn. Are we playing the Plainsmen? Are we playing the Tigers? Are we playing the War Eagles? Hey, we might be playing Cymbal. Go, dog. Snap into a Slim Jim.
I couldn't agree more with you. The Savage tells it like it is. Who are we playing next week?
I mean,
they have an identity crisis problem.
It is hard to beat the Macho Man. In fact, it's impossible to beat the Macho Man. I feel bad when he calls in the caller that has to follow him. The guy's like, "Well, I just."
You just hear a little hang up.
He's just the
greatest.
I'll wait
until next week.
We love the Macho Man.
So my prediction came true. What was my prediction at the start of the show?
Oh, no doubt that by the end of the Bulldog Brunch that Chad Morris would be fired.
Fired!
Usually, losing 45-19 to Western Kentucky.
Chad is no longer the head coach at Arkansas.
Well, I think when
now
Florida
the search
State
goes on.
Made the move with Willie Taggart, that opened the door.
I heard Taggart was going to be the new head coach at Arkansas by our show next weekend.
They might just trade. Who knows? Thank you, by the way, to Danielle for taking great care
Danielle's
of us.
Danielle's the best. She's absolutely
wonderful.
The best.
And, so that's a shakeup in the SEC.
Well, and that's when it starts. You know, you start seeing these coaches about the time. Florida State makes the first move last week. Arkansas makes the move. You know, I think you almost have to kind of cut ties if you're really going to be committed to a change, because you got recruiting, you got everything on the line. Hopefully they have been talking to some people. This is not something that's out of the blue. This team is in dire straits right now. They need somebody to come in, culturally change what's going on there, bring in a new philosophy, a new feeling, because you just can't get up from this kind of just downward spiral.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, completely changing scheme and concept. And then when you get into a spot where you're basically saying, well, we got to get better players here, which every coach is saying that. But you can't throw the guys who are on your team under the bus. You hear comments a lot of times that young coaches make, oh, we just got to increase the talent level here. You hear that enough. The guys who are around from the previous administration, they're not liking that. You can get a divided locker room. And the one thing Arkansas doesn't have, which all fans want, you want to have hope that, yeah, we can win Saturday, that we can have a great season. And when you got no hope, it's time to make a change.
Well, yeah, I mean, it starts much deeper than just saying, you know, all of us can come in and say, we've got to get better talent. Well,
yeah, everybody said that.
You got to be able to collect talent. You got to be able to develop talent. And then you got to be able to place the talent in the best position that's going to help your team be the best team.
Use those X's and O's to help the Jimmys and Joes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the X's and O's, they all look pretty when they're all plumped up together. But, you know, what X is going to work out at wide receiver? What's going to work at guard? What's going to work at tackle? What if he goes down? Am I bringing that? I mean, it's a big, big duty. And they're starting at ground zero right now in Arkansas.
Adam Gillespie is just the best over there. All right. Join Coach Crean and the men's basketball team in Hawaii for the Maui Invitational. Oh, we're so silly. November 25th through 27th. Check out GeorgiaDogs.com for travel packages and more information. Or call 706-542-9045 to request tickets to the Georgia section. We'll see you in Maui.
I've really been waiting. I thought Greg McGarrity would be giving me a call any day now, going, Kev, it all came through.
Yep.
Meet us at the Delta, you know, gate E4.
You could lead a surfing exhibit.
In fact, Kevin, you know, it lucked up. There's an open first-class seat
Perfect.
That you are invited to go to Hawaii.
Oh, and real quick for hoops, this week for the Dogs, the men play at home on Tuesday and Friday, and the women play at home on Wednesday. So a lot of basketball to kind of
lead
you up.
And if you really, if you're down a little bit of money and you need some extra money to make that trip to Maui, you take the Saints and give the points.
There you go. The Falcons, you know what we always say, good teams win, great teams cover, bad teams lose, lousy teams, they don't cover.
Oh, my gosh. Who knows what's going to show up today in that game? You know, they've gone down there. They had a week off.
That's not good.
It's tough to go down there. You know, the old who dat, they don't like the Falcons down
no,
there too
they
much.
Don't.
So if they get them down, I expect them to kick them, step on their throat, and kick their little doggy right next to them.
Well, as they say, when your rival's drowning, you don't help them up. You put your foot on top of their head and you shove a garden hose down their throat.
Well, that sounds pretty violent, but
that's pretty accurate.
It's pretty accurate. And then we got a new kicker from Georgia Southern for them today, I believe, right?
Yes, that is correct.
What's his name?
He's
Young
from
Huku?
Yes. You know, he had a couple of bad misses for the Chargers a few years
ago. Is that all spelt out on the back of his jersey?
I don't know. If it's just the last name, I think it's just a two- or three-letter last name. To be
who?
Short. What was his?
Who
or Jim
Koo?
Otto.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be
so
funny if your last name was Who and it just had that on the back of your jersey?
Well, it was that Who's on First thing that came up a while back. Dogs win.
Like 100 years ago.
Thanks, Bulldog Brunch. The Hilltop Grill on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
Go Dogs.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast. Your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Historic game rewinds and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dogs!